You're listening to SBS News.
As government officials, business leaders and economists attend a national economic roundtable in Canberra this week, you will keep hearing them mention a buzzword, productivity growth. According to the Reserve Bank, productivity refers to how much output can be made within a given set of inputs. It includes two aspects. One is labor productivity, which focuses on workers themselves, such as their skill sets, the technology they use, and how they are managed. The other one is the multi-factor productivity, which looks at factors beyond workers, such as capital, land, energy, and materials. Why will it be the focus of the National Economic Roundtable this week? Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers says that's because there's no better time than now to talk about it.
Our economy is finely balanced between the progress that we've made on wages and inflation and living standards and the productivity that we desperately need to sustain that progress in the years and decades ahead. Higher living standards are the holy grail. And that makes productivity the primary focus.
In recent decades, Australia's productivity growth has slowed. During the financial year in 2022 and 2023, it was only 0.9%. It mirrors the general experience of many advanced economies. But the Reserve Bank says the slowdown also reflects persistent flaws of Australia's economy, such as declining business competition, slower upgrades in technology, and low wage growth. Trent Wilshire, Deputy Director of Grattan Institute's Economic Prosperity Program, says in the past decade, there have been attempts and measures by both federal and state governments to increase talent pools and business investment.
There has been reforms to skilled migration over the past few years, so streamlining employer sponsorship has been good. The reform of the points test is underway, and that's a big lever that can be pulled, but it hasn't been implemented. There's been some attempts at tax reform, although not particularly big. We've seen some changes to higher education. State governments have played a role too, so we've seen Victoria and New South Wales are reforming their planning system so that more housing can be built where people want to live.
But Mr. Wilshire says these policies haven't been able to offset some persistent barriers for Australia's productivity, including ageing population. He says Australia's growth of services also slows down productivity. Ahead of the roundtable, various stakeholders already signal their pitches to boost Australia's productivity. Business representatives call for cutting the levels of red tapes and the uptake of emerging technology. Unions want to see four-day working weeks. Welfare advocates urge the government to fix what they call the broken employment services. Among the calls, one of the most controversial topics is artificial intelligence. It follows the Treasurer's comment that AI is what he calls a game-changer for Australia's economy. But questions have been looming regarding AI's tolls on human jobs, regulations on copyrights, and the capacity of businesses to roll out the technology. Even Mr. Chalmers has also admitted that Australia needs to find a middle path for AI. His research has found while AI may help boost productivity at work, the rollout of AI can be pricey and slow.
If we as a nation are interested in increasing sovereign capabilities around AI and getting benefits from AI, we need to think about ways in which we can do that that don't rely so heavily on international software companies, because we're sending a lot of cash overseas in order to procure these technology products that aren't necessarily exactly what our organizations need and require a lot of work to operate safely.
The three-day National Summit only serves as a brainstorming platform for the Albanese government. But Danielle Wood, the chair of the Productivity Commission, says the government needs to readopt what she calls the growth mindset to its policymaking, as young Australians are already paying price for the low productivity growth.
Australians born in the 1990s, who hit the job market in the 2010s when economic growth was slow, were the first generation not to earn more than people born a decade before. This generation will bear more of the cost of addressing climate change, both the impacts of wilder weather and the policy response, because Australian policymakers have for too long avoided the lowest cost policy choices.
Mr. Chalmers says he has realistic but also optimistic expectation on the outcome of the summit. He says while the roundtable won't solve all economic problems in 3 days, it will set light on the government's budget in the next 3 years.
I'm optimistic that there is an appetite for reform. There is ambition when it comes to dealing with the three major challenges in our economy, productivity first of all, but also economic resilience and also budget sustainability as well. So I'm realistic, but I'm optimistic that we can make some progress together.
Wing Kwang, SBS News.